podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Take as little as 3 minutes to see if you could save on motorcycle insurance with Progressive. Come on, you've spent more time than that trying to name your bike.
How about the Crusher? I guess it's not really crushing anything. The Silver Bolt? No. Oh, what about Pepper? Mysterious. Is it a pet or a condiment? Surprise! It's a motorcycle. No, that's stupid.
Get a quote in as little as 3 minutes at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
It is Tour Live. You've got to do the extra pause. It is Tour Live. It's Neil Atkinson with Cam Rimmer, with Sean Bennett, and with John Gibbons in order to talk about predominantly what happened last night. We will get into what's going to happen tonight and at the weekend as well from a Liverpool point of view. But obviously, and the reason why we've chosen to put this show at 10 a.m. on a Wednesday, if you're listening live, 12 noon for the podcast, is because of the excitement of Liverpool's game against Manchester United. It was done well in advance. We had that much confidence in the Reds. We knew that it was going to be straightforward. Forward for them, and there they are. They do the decent thing for us. Also coming up, we've got into with Paul Butler, and we're speaking to the women's team ahead of what will be a magnificent day for the group on Sunday and for the football club as a whole when they get to lift the trophy, which means that they will be playing WSL football next season. But Liverpool, first and foremost, last night against Manchester United, Sean Bennett, it is a cumulative 9 goals against Manchester United this season. Remembering that Liverpool stopped playing for half an hour at Old Trafford, and arguably stopped playing for half an hour last night. In the end, the aggregate score of Liverpool 9, Manchester United 0 flatters the famous Manchester United.
Insane. I think it's my favourite day of the year. Well, I guess my favourite 2 days of the year, given that we went to Old Trafford and did that as well. And I think, you know, it's going to be a good night. You know, when you get into Anfield, it's bouncing. Everyone was singing LA, LA, LA before they even come on the pitch. I just enjoyed every second of it. At one point, I looked up at the clock. It was only like 15 minutes. And I thought, I just don't want this game to ever end. I'm having so much of a good time. But then I also try and take a step back and think of the magnitude of the game. And I think it's easy to forget how big a fixture this is. And I think when Man United are on the decline as much as they are, it kind of, you know, becomes a much of a muchness. But I noticed how much Klopp was talking it up in the build-up, which I know sometimes he probably doesn't do in such big games. But, you know, he's saying it's the first fixture he looks out for every season still. And he was saying stuff like, it's just a privilege to be involved in it. And I actually thought going into the game he was going to rotate a lot more. I think we all know where United are. And I thought, you know, we needed fresh legs. We've just played a semi. We've got another derby coming up. But he went a lot stronger than what I thought. And I think that game's a little bit more sentimental to him than I think we all think. And, you know, there's a moment when, well, lots of moments during the game when the whole crowd is belting out his tune. And I reckon he's had a little quiet moment to himself there, thinking we're 9-0 up. An aggregate against Man United, this just doesn't happen, and the whole crowd singing my name, like, what's going on? But from a footballing point of view, you know, this wasn't just any kind of Man United derby. It's been wedged in between semi-finals and it's a title race. I was so surprised that, yes, they're trying to go for fourth, and yes, they want to beat Liverpool, but I was so surprised they didn't do everything they could to just stop us having a chance of winning a 20th league title. Like, just so shocked at how poor they were. But I was kind of having a debate in my head of Liverpool really, really good, or are they really, really poor? And I actually think Liverpool were really, really, really good, and they were poor as well, but we just made them look even worse. What I loved about the game is we were just thriving in tight spaces. I think there's probably about two of the goals that have come from us kind of drawing them into a trap. We've had about three or four men on us, passing these cute little triangles to get it out, and they fell into the trap every time. And I think I was watching some of the post-match stuff with Salah after. I don't know if you've seen it with Thiago. Thiago's trying to keep a straight face, you know, being all serious, and Salah's just laughing his head off. And he's saying they made our life easier, which they did, and that's not gonna happen often. He was even throwing some digs in at Everton. Don't know if you got onto that bit as well. he's not going anywhere, is he? He's having an absolute ball at the minute.
Them enjoying themselves, Cam, I think is one of the interesting things about it. I think that, you know, United, they do fall into a lot of Liverpool traps. I've had a look at the stats this morning for a show I'm going to do around it, and United pressure put two or three times almost as many pressures on as Liverpool. Now, they have significantly less of the ball, but they were looking to sort of charge around. I think they had a bit of a plan to follow certain players into midfield from the back line in order to put pressures on. And the extent to which Liverpool just go, all right, then that's absolutely perfect for us because you're just going to leave space and we thrive in space. It did just look like a football team who were genuinely enjoying their evening's work. And you actually probably don't get to see that very often. You maybe don't get to see it in what's normally meant to be a tight, nervy title race where something's going to go a bit wrong. Suddenly Liverpool are playing like it's a pre-season friendly and they're up against lower league opposition.
Yeah, I said on a show the other week that they're just... Everyone's just in like a party mode, even the fans. And I think that's instilled to the players now. I think the players are seeing that the fans are just taking every game as it comes and we're just all enjoying the ride. Like Thiago yesterday, he was playing like he was in Sunday League. It was absolutely ridiculous. He was just walking around the pitch. And I think even at times he's actually laughing on the pitch as well. But yeah, I mean, you could see what the United are trying to do. But then when they're playing such a high line like that, with the defence you've got, it's just there's only one way it's going, and then you're just seeing after, I think, first 10 minutes, and then there's a stage in the second half, I'm not sure about everyone else, but where I was, everyone seemed to be a little bit cagey when it was only two. There was a fella behind me fuming. You would have thought that we were in a relegation battle the way this fella was behind was behind me. But yeah, in the end, it was just great, wasn't it?
The idea, I think, in there, Cam, you know, that there's the... they've got that sort of the swagger about them, they're enjoying it, but they're also simultaneously taking it deadly seriously, I think is important. But I think also the ability that they appear to have to, they know themselves, even when, and I think they do knock off a little bit in a couple of little periods. I think even first half, it was all just a bit too easy for them. But the thing that they know in the back of their minds is we are just about to create something at any given moment all the time. And I think that's the thing they've got. They've got that absolute certainty in one another. We're just about to create another really good opportunity, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you just know it's going to come from somewhere. And obviously, luckily, last night, it wasn't one of them where it was nil-nil in, like, the 80th, 90th minute and we needed something out of the bag. Like, you just know something was coming. Either it's going to be down the right, down the middle, or on the left. And there's just, all over the pitch now, there's just match winners and there's a player who can just turn the game on its head. Like, at times, Robbo and Trent are the two highest players up the pitch. They could do something. We could do something down the middle. We've just got so many options on the pitch. Like, imagine coming out and playing against us now and just seeing all, and then the players coming off the bench as well. Do you know, yeah. Like, you had Jota coming on last night, for example, and it's just, there's just match winners everywhere. You can just go into any game confidence. Like, it must be the hardest thing trying to choose who the first scorer is going to be, because, like, there's just so different match winners everywhere.
On Saturday, they play against Manchester City. And I think there's actually not been enough made of the fact that it's BBC One. It's 3:30 in the afternoon. It's being watched all around the world and it's free to air in Britain, which so much of the football we play isn't. And they get that feast. The general public, the viewing public, as I often say, Nans get that feast. And Liverpool makes so much sense to Nans because they get the ball and they want to get it forward and create opportunities. And they play with a bit of a smile on their face. Then you get last night, which is one of the arguably two biggest recurring fixtures in club football. There's that one and there's Real Madrid versus Barcelona. They're the two big ones. It's watched by people all over the world. At the minute, people all over the world are getting a feast of football from Liverpool Football Club.
They are, yeah, and lucky them and lucky us. And I think, you know, everyone just seems to be either enjoying this football team or having, you know, I was going to say grudging respect. It's not even particularly grudging anymore. Everyone, you know, with all the stuff I saw, you know, I did sort of Sky Sports before, and just before they showed, you know, the panel just sort of talking about it. And they're just saying this is an outstanding football team. And as you say, Neil, so nice to watch as well, so enjoyable to watch. And everything's just almost so perfect about it. It's almost like, why can't it all be like this? You know what I mean? And that's what you sense people to say, like, you know, like you say again, the Nans. It's like, why don't all the teams just play like that? And you're like, well, it's not as easy, unfortunately. It's years of building. It's years of kind of, you know, excellent recruitment, and that's where we've got to now. And that's the point that their manager was trying to make after the game, wasn't it? It's like that this doesn't just happen overnight. And if you want this, you know, again at Manchester United, or you want what sort of Liverpool have got, I would argue that they never quite sort of got to this height in terms of a one-off season, certainly over consistency over years. You know, they were phenomenal, but, you know, he say, you know, this sort of takes a long time, and we've been through the process at Liverpool, and listen, it wasn't a particularly painful process because there were still great nights and there was still, you know, enjoyable football, but it was, you were you know, frustrated at times that the trophies took a little bit longer to come to what we'd have liked, and there was lost finals and things like that. But we're here now and we've got there together. And when Sean and Cam, before we're talking about the celebration, how it felt like before the game, and then obviously Jordan. I think that's what it is to me. It's like we've been on this big journey together, all together, and now we get to enjoy it. And the players feel like that, you know, they've slogged themselves in these summers, and they've had the tough times, and they've had the frustrating times, and now they're all here together, and they all buzz off each other so much. Like they all like that. That's what I loved about the Salah Thiago thing is that I don't know. I reckon if he could have just left them to it and then for 5 minutes he'd have just gone, no, you're boss. Do you know what I mean? Like a party, house party at 3 a.m. when you need to tell two lads telling each other how sound they are. It was sort of like you were ready to sort of break into that.
When Thiago didn't want to go off, it actually reminded me of certain nights I've had where I've been on the dance floor and people have been saying, Akko, the cab's here. And I've been going, come on, we can get more out of this. We're out tomorrow. Neil, we're out tomorrow. Pace yourself. We're out tomorrow. More to come. I promise you, Neil. That's what it looked like to me massively. By the way, if you know a Nan, they'd like to subscribe to the Anfield Wrapped, you can download the app. iPads are massive in the Nan community. Really, really big deal. So they can download the Anfield Wrap app on that, use the token, show them how to do that. Might be at times, I think a Nan would say, you know, bit sweary in places, but they're really good girls and boys. So, you know, I think we can be pro-Nan here on the Anfield Wrap all the way through. So if you do know that, do download the app and enjoy it. Sean, the individual part of the game, for me, the opening goal was just a microcosm of the game, in that if you watch Liverpool play a lot, you know what it is we want to do in that area. And it feels like Manchester United must have known that as well. And yet there they were, falling into every single one of our traps. And it was even one of the things that's forgotten is Salah has to basically say to Trent, no, leave it. I've got this boxed. That's the extent to which they were controlling that space in that period as they pounded forward. And then there he is. Yeah, a great shout from John Turner there in the comments. Nans are a big fan of the Jurgen chant. Absolutely is right, John.
Do you remember that one?
Yeah, they know the tune absolutely perfectly. They're all as impressed as I am about the use of the word delivered. The ball then is delivered across the box, and there is Diaz showing all of his pace, Sean. It's just almost, it's such a pure Liverpool goal. It's what a Liverpool goal looks like. And the idea that we get to do it within 5 minutes of the game, I thought it just completely set the tone of what was to come.
Yeah, that's example A of them falling into the traps within the first 5 minutes. I thought Salah, I know he gets the assist, but he's outstanding in that build-up because Trent's got the ball kind of playing out from the back on the wing. He plays the tightest ball into Salah. He's got about three men on him already. And literally two passes later, Henderson, Mane, and we're in the box. One pass later, the ball's in the back of the net. I think it was incredible. And I think it was really instinctive. I think it might have been the team talk I was listening to, and he's were talking about kind of more so with Salah, just kind of playing a bit more instinctive and not overthinking things. And that ball was just, because I was thinking, is he going to pull it back to Trent? Is he going to overthink it? Is he maybe going to try and dribble it and kind of, you know, get this goal that we're all waiting for? But it was just split second, didn't even have to think about it.
It was his body shape, Cam. You could almost anticipate every bit of it. His body shape was, this is the thing I'm going to do in a minute. There's nothing you can do about it. And that, to me, was one of the takeaways from the whole match. From a Man United point of view, was that almost everything Liverpool did, the attitude was, we're going to do this in a minute, and there's nothing you can do about it. And to me, that there's lots of ways in which they themselves were pretty dispirited last night, the Manchester United community. But the thing that would most dispirit them, I would think, would be just that feeling of absolute powerlessness at the hands of Liverpool.
Yeah, and I think that's last night. I think the game earlier on in the season, at the start of the season, teams still sussing each other out. It was still quite early on, but now, like, you're at the business end. And I think last night has shown the biggest gulf between us and United, probably in the post-Fergie era, to be honest, in a way that the only time we were giving the ball away was either like an overhit ball like that went out or like just a misplaced pass. It was never down to United's coming in. We were just first at every ball. I thought the pressing last night was the best I've seen in a couple of seasons, to be honest. We were just hunting them in packs. And yeah, like them go. And then, I mean, obviously saying about the first goal, but the second goal for me, that's one of the best goals I've ever seen live at Anfield. It was just absolutely unbelievable. That pass from Mane is just, if that's Kevin De Bruyne doing that,
yeah,
it's on Sky Sports News for weeks, isn't it? Everyone's saying about it. But yeah, I mean, just every goal sums up and personifies what this team's about, didn't it? Like, we were just so, so good. And we just came out just in packs. We were just every ball, every second ball. But yeah, United, I mean, my season tickets, like, right by the away fans, they were just looking shell-shocked. They were like, what the hell's going on? And, like, there was even fans getting off on 20, 30 minutes, which, and I don't blame them, to be honest.
No, you would not blame them in the slightest for that. John, the other bedrock on which so much of this is built, you know, and it's important to remember, it is what goes on at the back. And already was mentioned before about Trent Alexander-Arnold defensively, was excellent, plus everything else that he gives you. Same with Robertson. The two centre-backs are just completely, you know, Rashford was, he was looking for scraps, but the point was that he wasn't even being given the sniff of that over the course of the game. He's a quick proposition, Rashford. He's a long way away from having his best season, don't get me wrong, but it was just made crystal clear to him that the game was none of his business.
Yeah, I mean, he was very isolated, wasn't he? So you felt for him. So he was in for a tough night, whatever. But, you know, whatever little bits he did get forward was just dealt with. I'm glad someone in the comments mentioned Trent's defensive performance, because I was going to talk about that on the post-match show yesterday, but we kind of got waylaid in jubilation and Thiago love. But he was absolutely brilliant, you know, in terms of the few times where they tried to target him and tried to have a go at him. He was just too strong, too good, and we just wasn't having any of it. Someone there in the comments saying Andy Robertson was 10 out of 10. I completely agree. If there was a higher mark, I'd give it to him, because I thought he was great last night, especially how he was anticipating and getting ahead of the forwards and winning the ball. And one of the goals comes from that. But as you say, Neil, the two centre-halves, it feels like, you know, it's two or three at the moment, and whoever he picks, you know, you expect to dominate the forward line, and that's whoever it is. And listen, you know, United came in a little bit defensive, didn't they? You know, changed things around second half to have a bit more of a go. But, you know, whatever they sort of try to do, they're up against phenomenal defenders and phenomenal leaders as well. And, you know, people who love clean sheets, people who love the battle, people who love to get Liverpool on the front foot and get us going with the passing as well. And, you know, whoever he picks, you know, alongside Virgil, you're happy with, because it's Virgil van Dijk's there.
Yeah.
And it is absolutely unreal, but also the level that they're playing at too. And the perfect centre-halves for Liverpool in terms of how they allow us to play, but also, you know, that love of defending and that love of the battle and that love of, you know, coming out feeling like, yeah, they haven't got a sniff against us today is something that sets them apart, I think.
Sean, the thing that they've got now when he picks those three in attack, and it's not to in any way, shape or form act as though Jota and Firmino haven't got massive roles to play between now and the end of the campaign. That's even before you get on to Origi, who was interestingly on the bench last night. The three of them just are so able to occupy every single footballer on the pitch, almost in a sense, in so many ways. Sadio is just absolutely full of menace and is, you know, just in all parts of the pitch. He's about to hurt you, possibly also in a physical sense these days, that he appears to have very much added that to his game. Then you've got the idea of Salah being the highest scorer in the country and just being so endlessly dangerous. And Diaz is just this constant outlet, getting the ball, giving the ball in any area. He'll come back, he'll win it with his chest, he'll hold it up, he'll run into midfield if he needs to, or he'll go the other way, he'll spin, and he'll go from there. It is almost impossible to play against. It's like we've got five up front. Between the three of them, it's like we've got five up front. And I just think the idea of containing that at the moment looks so, so difficult.
Yeah. When you've got a game where every single forward scored or assisted, including the one that's come off the bench, it's absolute perfection. I think we've all probably got different combinations that we'd want to play. I saw Andrew Beasley tweeted that Klopp has now got 10 different combinations he can use for the front three, which is just, it's just dreamland, isn't it? And don't forget, there was a point in the season, probably, you know, before Diaz comes in, when we're all talking ourselves up, thinking that Minamino might have to be this, you know, this kind of one of our future strikers and one of the lads we need to kind of depend on when we need to rotate. He's not even getting in the team now, and he's actually had a decent run of form when he was playing.
Yeah.
Same with Origi, you know, he's probably going to be gone in the summer, but some of the big goals he scored for us, and they just can't even get a look in now. I think we're just so spoilt for choice. You've got Salah, who's now in the top 20 all-time scorers in the Premier League. He's only one behind Steven Gerrard. 30 goals for the season now, isn't it? What have we got, 10 games to go? Hopefully. And also, yeah, and also with Mane, I think he's just in such a great run of form. I know on one of the last shows we did, we spoke about him being reinvented in this number nine role, but he's already on 19 for the season, and he's not even our second top scorer after Salah. It's Jota, and he's not even getting a game. So it's just like, I've just never seen an attacking threat like this for Liverpool, and so many options, and also so many options going into such a crucial part of the season. And I know a lot of the chat beforehand was about Salah being out of form and blah, blah, blah. But I thought, he's out of form now, but he's going to come into form soon. And he's going to come into form soon when we've got a derby coming up, a Champions League semi-final, an FA Cup final and a title run. So that's fine by me. You can click into gear at the right time.
Cam with them at the moment and the way in which they are pairing, he's ended up with the options that you've always sort of wanted him to have. And I mean that across the board, really. You know, John's already alluded to the idea of any centre-half partnership he picks, and I would actually feel comfortable enough throwing Gomez in there on that at the moment. Last week against Benfica, you know, for me, Andy Robertson's comfortably our best left-back, but the other lad comes in and creates a couple of great opportunities and has got unbelievable delivery. It's 3 from 5 in attack, as has been said, and in midfield, you know, he's in a situation where it feels as though it's 3 from 4 to start, and then he's going to have the options of Jones, of Milner, to come off the bench and help see games out. And to me, that's, you know, this is an exceptional run where he's got there. And I thought when Keita came on straight away, Keita looked determined to enjoy himself as well. And to me, that's what's startling here, is that firstly, it doesn't feel like it's just 13 of them running for the line. It feels as though it's 18, 19 of them running for the line. But it also feels as though absolutely everybody feels as though they've got a part to play. And that's why this Liverpool team, it looks as though, when I say they run to the line, they might actually absolutely sprint through it the way they currently look.
Yeah, I think the key thing is, when other teams have like pipped us to the title, sometimes like you think about United 08-09, they had like 3 star strikers or do all perform at different times, City 13, 14. But I can never remember a team off the top of my head who've got 17 or 18 players who have all just come in at different times of the season and just been this effective. Like, we could change this team completely on Sunday and even against Villarreal and still be confident with who you're bringing in. Like, you, as you said, with the strikers now, you could choose any of them. Like, you've got 5 options normally. It's 3, 4 maybe tops, but not 5. In midfield, you can completely change it. Your centre-half pairings, as we were saying before, anyone next to Van Dijk, you're fine with. It's like, even attack, like the keeper. Like, look in the League Cup final when Keller was in goal in a penalty. Do you know what I mean? It's just, it's crazy. And it's no surprise to me that we're on for the quadruple at this stage of the season, because when you've got this much strength and depth, and like, how many players do you want to play for the manager? Like, there's nobody sulking. And that's just testament to Klopp, isn't it? That there's no one there who looks a bit, you know, like they don't want to be there, sort of thing. Every time somebody's getting a chance to get on the pitch, they're taking it. And it's just brilliant. And it must be such a good headache now for Klopp with all these selections, because you could literally change it to whatever way he wants.
He can change it to any way he wants, John, but it feels like, I've just had a little look there at the, you know, the 2018-19. I remember, for instance, around this time of the season, the 2-0 against Cardiff felt all a bit sticky. They had to come out and do it second half, and that was Cardiff, you know, and listen, Cardiff are fighting for their lives. After that, they do put a great performance in against Huddersfield. We're going to have a really good comparison against a mid-table Newcastle side on the television coming up in a couple of weeks' time, or a week or so's time now. You know, we're going to get to see that. But that one, Liverpool started ever so well, but they began to run out of legs at tiny little bit. Obviously, there's the brilliance of the night against Barcelona, but they do look, you know, and that, by the way, was a great Liverpool team. It got 97 points and it won the Champions League, for God's sake. These look far better shape now than that team did, I think, at that stage of the season. And I want to be really clear about this. That team just won every game. So, you know, this is the bar I'm comparing them to at the minute.
Yeah, they are. I think they are better. It's a better squad. There's a better feeling almost around us as well, a bit, in terms of what we can go and achieve. There's a slightly higher belief, you know, that season you're chasing City and you're just sort of hoping that they drop and sort of hanging in there, really. Whereas this year, even though we're still behind, it doesn't sort of feel like that. And there just seems, he's got so many players he's got faith in, and that's what we've all talked about here, isn't it? That it just allows you to sort of, you know, bring lads in and out and rotate a little bit and keep people fresh and bring people off, even though they're saying, no, boss, I'm fine, like we sort of saw last night. And I think, you know, that's not to say that we are going to win between now and the end of the season, because you don't know what might happen in a sort of one-off game. But I think they believe it. I think that's what they think they're going to do. And I think that sort of shines through them all.
It does indeed shine through them all. Final couple of words on it all, Sean. The brilliance of Thiago is just glorious to see. It was a tremendous performance. It was everything that you want from a midfielder. I think I've watched the clips compilation of his best moments 3 times since last night. And trust me, it's long. Do you know what I mean? I've seen Academy Award films that haven't gone on for quite as long. It goes on, and it was just unbelievable to watch in the ground. I'm sure it was brilliant on television, but to watch it in the ground is a performance of such talent, but such certainty and such braininess.
I think I watched him that whole game with me jaw just hitting the floor. Every time he does anything, I'm like, what? I've never seen anyone do that with a footy. It's so mad.
He makes really mundane things look incredible, doesn't he?
Yeah, literally. It's like his hips aren't attached to the top half of his body, whether it's like a no-look pass or like even his defender. I actually thought he was the best defender on the pitch yesterday. Like he was just recovering balls left, right and centre. But even when he's like going to do a tackle, he makes his body look like it's going that way and suddenly his legs are wrapped around the ball the other way. He just defies human nature, really. But I think, you know, if you're looking at him in comparison to other midfielders in the league and guess other players in the league, is ball recovery, is progressive passing, it's completely changing the way that we can play. And he's always off the scale in terms of, you know, where everyone else is, and he's just kind of head and shoulders above everyone. And I think he just adds such a unique dynamic to this team. I was thinking last night, he's obviously an outlier, isn't he, in terms of the types of players that Klopp had signed. And I think he had to, you know, have a bit of a chat with FSG to convince them to sign a player like that for, you know, still a relatively low amount of money. But, you know, for paying that for someone as old as he is, probably we wouldn't have done it. But, like, just look how he's performing in this team. And I just sat there, like, watching the game last night thinking, God, imagine if Klopp was just given, like, an unlimited budget to buy the best players in the world. Like, I genuinely think we'd win every game for the rest of time. Like, it's insane.
I think that with him, Cam, I just got the impression last night, you know, he had a lovely chat to Jürgen when he came off, and one of the things I was sort of half imagining in that way that you sometimes do, perhaps irresponsibly in the middle of it, it was almost like, this is why I came here. That there, that was why I wanted to come. I wanted to come and do this here in front of these people in this environment, in front of this worldwide audience. That was it. That was what I've come for. This and winning loads and loads of things, please. This is what I'm here for. Because that to me was what it was all about last night. You know, it feels very much with Thiago. We wanted him, but he seems to have emphatically chosen us as the place that he wanted to go and play his football next. And he's that good. He almost got the sense, had the pick of whatever club he wanted was where he's going to end up. And it just felt like last night was, yeah, this is what I wanted all along. Thank you very much, Gaffer.
Yeah, like there was times last night where me and the people sat around, we were just laughing. Like, you're just like, how are you even doing this in a professional game of football? Like, he's 5 seconds ahead of everyone else on the pitch, and that's with the caliber of players for us. He's an absolute joke. But I felt like last season when it was locked down behind closed doors, he's probably come, as you said, he's had the pick of the bunch of teams to go to, and he's come to us, and it's all behind closed doors. And obviously, what happened last season happens, and then it's like, oh, and then this season comes out, you know, fans back in the grounds, and he's just like, yeah, this is it, isn't it? But he's just, that's one of, if not the best performances I've seen from a Liverpool player on field. It was just, every time he was getting it, it weren't just simple passes. He was taking out like 3 or 4 players at a time with every pass. And he's just, I the only thing with Thiago is, it's just I wish he was younger and I wish we were getting him. Because obviously you're only going to get so many years out of him, but you've just got to cherish every moment of him because he's an unbelievable footballer.
The one, John, where he just shows Rashford the ball and goes, the ball's here. And then he goes, but no, it's not now. And this really weird thing where he then accelerates away from Rashford. And I'm like, but Rashford's fast. Why can he can't seem to, and then he's pulling at him and all of this sort of stuff. And then I think another lad comes in and sort of clears him out or Thiago pops it off. But over and over again, it was that idea of you think you know where the ball is, but I'm going to show you where the ball is in a minute. And it was just absolutely tremendous football. It is, as Cam says, you know, I can think of a number of, some of them really rather unlikely, you know, great Liverpool midfield performances across the last 5 years. I always think that Pedro's got a shout in amongst this for his brilliant work that night against Shrewsbury with a team of kids. You know, these performances can come from nowhere, but it doesn't come from nowhere where Thiago Alcantara is concerned. It comes from the fact that he could be the best centre mid on the planet.
Yeah, and he's almost been building up to this performance for the last few weeks, hasn't he? He's been playing outstanding, but this was the, you know, the top of the pile. And, you know, there was a couple of things, like you say, where you're like, has he just done that? Hang on. You know what I mean? We were laughing on the post-match show yesterday saying, like, you wouldn't have minded a couple of replays in the ground last night just to check sort of what he did. And the showing of the ball, I've never really seen anything like that. The closest I can think of is like a basketball player, you know, one of the Harm Grove choppers who sort of goes out like there and then just sort of pulls it back and leaves the defender looking all silly, trying to sort of steal it. And he's away and at the basket. And it was that sort of thing, really, as I say, that I've already kind of seen in sort of, you know, basketball. Really, you know, this idea of showing the ball, boom, now it's gone, it's sort of around. Yeah, he's learning new tricks, he's enjoying himself, and that's what we've all said, and that's what, you know, Cam's talking about before, the fact that he's come, he wants to come for this. But I think they all are. I think they're all enjoying themselves, they're all enjoying expressing themselves. They've got so much faith in each other, in the manager and what they're doing, and then yeah, I think that's why you're seeing these outstanding individual and team performances.
Excellent stuff indeed. Coming up now, we've got a couple of inserts. John, Tammy, what you've been working away on them. Neither of them are recorded, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. If you're listening to this, they're getting done ASAP, and then this thing will be out as a podcast. Go on.
Yeah. So well, Harriet right now is over at Prenton.
Right
Park,
now
is over at Prenton Park. So the women have won the league, which is absolutely fantastic. On Sunday, they've got the last home game of the season. There's going to be a trophy lift after, so I'd encourage everyone to get down there. If you've not been yet, and you think, oh, I don't want to get in the party, just come. Honestly,
everyone wants this party to be gegged into.
Yeah, we want it to be the biggest attendance of the season. We want to smash that record. There's been some great attendances this season for Liverpool women, considering they've been in the second tier. And you know, last couple of years, I haven't been, you know, out of the standard of what we like. There's been some great attendance, but it'd be like lovely to smash that. So come in, join in the party right at the end. That's fine. See what this team's all about. And then it's obviously the build up to next season as well. So if you do fancy maybe going when they're back in the Super League next season, you know, start on Sunday. It's a midday kickoff, so you can do that and then get to wherever you're watching the Merseyside Derby, be that Anfield or whatever. Come over with us if you want. We'll share a cab.
Yeah.
and so that's on Sunday, so that's something to really look forward to. So Harriet's there. Speaker, I think she's trying to get Matt Beard, who's the manager, and a couple of players as well. And then also there's a big boxing event at the arena on Saturday, and Paul Butler, who's a Scouse fighter, he's from Ellesmere Port, he's headline, and he's coming in at 11:30 today, but he's definitely coming. He's texted me this morning.
Excellent stuff.
So he's coming here, and then he's going to, you know, the big press conference they do at the Hilton.
Yeah,
and stuff like that. I like to think I'm his warm up, but I hope he's not like really pumped up. Do you know what I mean? Because sometimes they go off, these things, don't they?
I don't want him throwing a dick at you, Sean.
So coming in all full of testosterone and all that, and like I'm gonna just want a nice chat.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
You're
like
back
in the background laughing, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm hoping I'm the calm before the storm. I might come over to the Hilton with him, to be honest with you. Just have it.
Yeah, back him to the Hilton, though, obviously. You'd be one of the fellas in the background stood around pulling them apart. It's Gibbo. He was on Sky Sports News this morning, everyone will say.
Look at him now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The last time I've seen something that aggressive was Nicky Campbell, which John was also on this morning. In the comments here, if you listen to this live, there's a link. We'll make sure the link's tweeted out as well around the women's ticket. In there, it is also a 12:00 kickoff. Up to when you just said before it was 12:00, I was labouring under the misapprehension. It's 2:00.
No, they moved it to 12:00. So do both.
It is 12:00, so do both, and we will see you there. I can't wait for that. It will be the absolute business. So that's what's coming up now in the insert for Tour Live. If you listen to it as a podcast,
so we're at Prenton Park now. It's a media morning for Liverpool women's team, and I'm joined by Matt Beard. And Matt, you must be really just delighted by the end of this season, how it's all gone, and looking back and reflecting, you must just be delighted with your team.
Yeah, listen, we're obviously, I'm proud of everyone that's connected with the team to put us in a position that we've put ourselves in. You know, the aim at the start of the year was to get promoted, and you know, to achieve that with a month to go and two games spare, you know, I think is you know, it sums up the way the girls have performed over the course of the year. So no, we're delighted that we've got it done, but we've still got two games left. So we want to carry the run on, and but I'm glad that we can celebrate at Prenton Park with our fans, because they've been on a journey with us this year, and the support they've given us has been fantastic.
Yeah, how's it been having all the fans back? Obviously, you weren't here last season, but a lot of the players were, and they were experiencing playing without anyone here and playing in empty stadiums. So how have they motivated you and made you want to achieve promotion this year?
Yeah, well, I think if you look at... I think Durham away was a real turning point with the supporters. You know, when you're travelling 4 hours to games, and same with London, coming down, and you've been having 300, 400, 500 at some games sometimes, they felt like home games, you know. It does make a difference. And I said this a few weeks ago, that I think when you can't go to games, and obviously the fans aren't here, I think when they are here now and we're all back together, I think you can appreciate everything a little bit more. I'm sure there's been times where the girls previously were under pressure and the fans couldn't give them that lift or whatever. And whenever teams played against Liverpool, from the games that I watched in the Championship, they raised their game, and I think the supporters have helped us through certain times this year, definitely. But yeah, no, it's great that that they're back in, and I think the bond that the players have with them as well is fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really nice to see a lot of families here as well, and they really look up to the players, don't they? I just want to look back a bit to the start of the season, because I was at the first home game here, which you lost, and you look back now, how did you get the squad in a position from that point when you came in quite soon before the start of the season to then think, okay, we've got it in us to achieve promotion? How did you rally them, and basically, how did you achieve it?
it was never about that first game. I think it was a dubious penalty decision that won the game. But we had a really disruptive pre-season with COVID, like almost 25 days.
Yeah.
We had players missed, you know, 2-3 weeks of pre-season, I think 8 to 10 over the course of the pre-season. So we was playing a little bit of catch-up in that first month. It's just about getting, just improving on the training pitch every day, working hard on the training pitch every day. You know, we prepare the players as best we can, and ultimately you need to trust the players once they cross that white line. So, but for most parts, even in that London City game and, you know, going to the Watford game, you know, where we was in complete control and then we gave the goal away and it became a bit nervy. I just think we grew in confidence, we grew as a group together, and we trusted each other in certain situations. And I think maybe the turning point was Sunderland away when we went behind and then we carried on, we dominated the game and got back in front. So I think there's loads of different moments over the course of the season that you could say maybe defined certain things, like Durham away. When I watched them play there the year before, we got bullied, we got beat up, but we've done that to them this time around. So I think little moments like that just give you that confidence, that belief, you know, that you can do it. But the one thing we've had here is competition for places. Mm. So everyone's had to get their head down and work hard, because they know if they don't, then someone will come in and will. So that's been a big help for me this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And looking at the mentality a bit more of being in a title race, does the pressure ever get to the players? How do you as manager have to ensure that they remain calm and remain focused on the job in hand?
Yeah, I think the first thing is to talk about it. I think you can't just brush it under the carpet. We need to talk about it. So Fran's done a great job in the group psychology meetings that we've done. You know, if you look at the first part of the season, we put it into blocks. Second half of the season, we just focus game by game. So, but yeah, no, you need to talk about it. Otherwise, you're not going to prepare them for it. I mean, there's been certain training sessions when we've put them under stress, and what I mean by that is we've put them in situations that they might find themselves in on the Sunday. And it's funny because you see one or two players, their heads fall off, they lose it, you know. And but you say, well, if you can't control yourself now, how can I trust you Sunday? So we've done a lot of stuff like that over the course of the year to prepare the players. But yeah, I think you can see in our performances over the last month, take Bristol City aside, because I thought we were excellent. It's been a bit nervy, but that's the nature of the beast. There's nothing you can do about that. All we have to do is be there for the players if they make a mistake or their teammate picks them up or whatever. But I don't really think we did that. I think getting through that London City game, and I probably got that wrong, especially in the second half, and to come away with that point, we could have won it at the end. But I think that was a big moment in the season for us as well, because we was under the cosh for a large chunks of that game. And I think once we got that point, then we went to Charlton and won, then it was just a matter of when we were going to do it.
Have you felt nervous at all throughout the season?
No, not really. You know, they're a great group. We've been on a great run. And like, even when we got to that point, we said, look, you know, we've got 3 opportunities to win the league. And obviously with Bristol City getting beat by Sheffield United, the pressure on them to win that game, they had to come and win it, because they had to win every game. So no, I've been quite calm and relaxed. I knew we'd do it because of the form that we were in. So for me, that's been quite, I've been quite lucky with that. If you look at my first year, it went to the last game. Second year, it went to the last game. So now to have it done and
have a bit of breathing space and during
of course. But I'm really looking forward to Sunday, because there's no pressure on us. We could just go play our game and it'd be interesting to see how that pans out.
Are you excited for the trophy lift to share that with the fans?
Yeah, no, we are. But I have said to the players yesterday, we've got a game of football to play.
Yep.
Sheffield United are for sure going to want to come here and win and spoil the party. That'll be their motivation. But, you know, first and foremost, we've got 90 minutes to play. Then what happens after.
And finally, how do you prepare for next season, going into the WSL, the jump up? How do you get the players together and prepare over the summer to make sure that you're in the best possible position next season?
Yeah, so we've been working off sort of 2 scenarios since January, me and Russ and the staff. So, like, from that perspective, we're pretty much quite advanced in most situations there. It's going to be same process. Come in, get our head down, work hard, prepare the team. We have to prepare them maybe slightly differently, because there'll be teams that maybe will have more of the ball than what we will next year. So just make sure that we adapt and adjust to the level above. But I'm confident that we can be competitive in the division above, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it as well. We can't wait for next season to see you back in the WSL where you belong. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks.
Good to chat to you.
Thank you.
It's great to have Leanne Kiernan with us at the Liverpool Women's Media Morning. It's such a nice day, isn't it? We've just been chatting about how nice it is and how sunny it is out here.
Yeah, it's been brilliant. Can't complain when there's a bit of sun in Liverpool. We don't get it too often.
We don't. How's the celebrations been then since you won the league and you celebrated as a group together? How's it all been the last couple of weeks?
Obviously, it was great in Bristol. We had our fans there. We got celebrating, but a lot of us went on international, so we were gone that next day, so we didn't actually celebrate, which the girls were like, how did you not celebrate? I was like, well, we have to go into camp, like, but we're really looking forward to this Sunday where we can lift the cup at home.
Yeah, so this Sunday you're obviously playing Sheffield United. You've got to play a game before you start those celebrations. Yeah. How's that going to feel? Being able to celebrate with all the fans and just having everyone here to look back at the season you've had and how well you've all done.
Yeah, of course, it's gonna be an amazing feeling lifting that trophy, but we know that, listen, it's a big thing for us to go out and win this game, and we're going to work hard this week in training, and everybody's feet are still on the ground. We know what we got to do, and we're just looking forward to the moment. Yeah, my whole family's actually flying over, so I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, it'll be really nice to have your family with you and celebrate with them. Looking back to the start of the season, can you talk about your progression as a player, how much you think you've come on, and as a squad as well?
Yeah, so I came in here, got offered the number 9 shirt, and I knew I had a job to do. And it's just been nice. Like, Beardy's been great. Like, he really believed in me. And obviously I had a lot of injuries over the past few years, so it's just quite nice to get a bit of consistency in my game and being on the pitch for 90 minutes most of the time, so it's been quite nice.
Yeah, and how is it working with Matt? You mentioned it there, and how's it been as a manager this season, coping with the pressures of a title challenge?
He's been brilliant, and it's just nice when you have that belief from him, and it kind of just makes it more comfortable. You're going out and you know that, like, you can go and win a game for him, so it's been quite nice. Yeah,
and every game that you won, was there a sense that you were getting closer to promotion?
Closer and closer. I remember from when we went in till the Christmas time. I can hear them roaring. Nice. From when we went in till the Christmas time, I remember we had a meeting and we had points per game and kind of what our goal was. Mm-hmm. And we actually overachieved in a sense in that way, so we knew that going in from December till now it was going to be tough. But no, it's been nice. And, like, listen, pressure, sometimes pressure is quite nice.
Yeah.
You don't want to just walk through something that's too easy, because it wasn't, for sure. Like, it was kind of down to the last two games as well, and Bristol gave us a great game. And even London City, Charlton, like, it's been tough this season, but we were prepped.
How was that away game at Bristol? I wasn't there, sadly, but it looked like such a fun day out.
Yeah, no, it was great. We knew that it was going to be a great game. In the stadium, like, everything, Bristol were catching up on points.
So many fans there as well.
Yeah, and the fans were great. We could hear them from miles away screaming all there. They have individual songs for each of the players, so it's quite nice.
Oh, and looking ahead to next season then in the WSL, how are you feeling about that challenge that you've got ahead?
Yeah, we're excited. Like, who doesn't want to play against the best players in the world? Yeah, as a professional footballer, you want to play the best teams too. So we're really looking forward to kind of competing in that league, and we know it's going to be very tough, but we'll be ready, and Beardy will have us well prepped. He's used to that league, and there's a good few of us that came from that league, so we'll be ready.
Yeah, and looking at the group of players that you've got here now, there's a sense that you're all really enjoying playing your football and you all get on really well. Can you give us an insight into what it's like playing with each other and what you're like with as a group?
How do I describe it? So I get up in the morning and I actually can't wait to go in and see them. It's just good crack. There's a great vibe. And it's just kind of like a family away from home. And I just feel like it's just been unbelievable to be a part of.
Yeah. And is there any season highlights for you? You've scored, obviously, loads of goals, and that every time that happens, that must be so exciting. But have you got any that stand out, or any particular moments that you can share?
I was actually asked that up there, and I would have said probably my first goal for the club. Just getting the ball into the back of the net early in the season was really nice, but obviously, my favourite moment so far was probably Bristol as a team, and it's just been brilliant that we knew we had won then. And that's kind of, I came here wanting to get promotion, as did everybody else, so it's great when you achieve that goal.
Yeah, and when you get that first goal for your club, do you sort of do a deep sigh and you're like, okay, I've done it now,
thank God,
the first one's done, and I can build from that.
Yeah, exactly. And when you're given the number 9 shortlist and you got to score goals. So, it's been great.
Well, you've definitely done that. Thank you so much for joining us. Been great to chat, and we can't wait to see you lift the trophy.
Great, thank you.
Great to have Missy Bow with us. It was your 21st birthday the other day, wasn't it? Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Did you have fun celebrating?
Yeah, it was good. I think it's just nice birthday, your 21st, yeah. Isn't it? I think everyone enjoys the 21st.
Always a big
one.
And
I definitely did.
And you got the celebrations continuing here at the weekend. Are you looking forward to Sunday being able to lift the trophy as a team and with the fans?
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. I think hopefully we get the win beforehand, and I think it'll be a good day.
Yeah, and obviously you're from Liverpool and playing for Liverpool. Is that a dream that you wanted to achieve when you were growing up? Is that what you always aimed for?
Yeah, I was watching the men's teams win trophies, Steven Gerrard lift trophies, and I was like, I want to do that one day. And this weekend I'll be doing it for the first time, and hopefully the first time of many.
Yeah, and how does it feel actually being part of a team and being, you know, so admired by the fans and saying that, you know, you're the Scouser in our team? How does that feel?
I think Liverpool Football Club is a big fan base, I think. So to be getting that off the fans, for me it's a privilege, because I'm a fan for the men, singing all Trent's the Scouser in the team, and he must feel the same, and it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's nice to hear the fans sing your name, isn't it? And how's it been being back with the fans this season? You had seasons without them and playing in front of empty stadiums, empty crowds. How's it been having them all back?
I think we missed them. I think having the atmosphere and just the cheer and stuff, they come home and away. Loads of them got coaches down to Bristol away. It's not close. Getting up early mornings, coming to watch us, I think they're brilliant, and I think that's what Liverpool Football Club means to them and to us.
Yeah, and how's it been dealing with the pressures of a title race? How have you found it personally, dealing with that? Have you cherished it and looked forward to every single game, or has it been a bit nerve-wracking at times?
I think you put your own pressure on yourself. We've just done game by game, and I think with us doing that, you just focus on the one game, getting the win, and we've done that, and it's worked, and we've got results, and that's all we wanted to do this season, was get promoted.
What's your favourite game of the season been?
Bristol, when we won it.
I loved all the videos of you afterwards, downing the champagne. That must have been a good feeling.
I only had a sip.
You only had a sip. You had to go back to training, probably. You went straight into England camp, didn't you?
Yeah, I went straight to England camp, so I had to go easy.
How was the England camp playing?
Yeah, it was good. We played Holland twice. 0-0 the first game, and then 3-0 in the second game, so good result.
Yeah, you're just coming on leaps and bounds. If you're looking at your game for next season, is there any areas you want to improve or progress in?
Yeah, I'm still a young player. I've just turned 21, as you said. I've got so much to learn and improve on. Every part of my game aspects I can improve. My physicality, my fitness, my touch, which positions on the pitch I get into. I think it all comes with experience and playing, and I've still got a long way to go and learn, but I'm in a good place as it is. I've got good staff, good players around me who I can learn off, and I'm really looking forward to my journey.
And how does it feel when you score from a corner?
It was great. I didn't know what to do, though. I didn't know where to run or celebrate, because it's not often it happens, but I think it's just one of them. Like, a goal's a goal, isn't it? You've got to take it.
Yeah, and have you had any personal favourite moments of the season from your perspective?
I think just playing, I just love football, and playing football every game I enjoy just as much as the other. And now that I see myself not as the kid in the team no more, and I'm playing week in, week out, and I'd want to keep my foot on the ground and just keep pushing myself. I don't want to settle for that. I want to keep improving, and I just enjoy every minute of it.
And are you looking forward to the challenge of the WSL and obviously the step up that that's going to be? Do you think you're ready to take that on?
Yeah, I think I want to be one of the best, so I've got to be able to compete against the best. And doesn't matter how old you are, if you're good enough, you're old enough. And I think that's my attitude going into next season. And I want to prove myself. I want to show what I can do. And obviously, I know I've still got things to work on and learn, but it'll only come by playing against top opposition. That's where you learn. If you make a little mistake or whatever, where this year, some games, you could say we haven't really been tested that much. And I've noticed the difference sometimes on international when we're playing the likes of France, mm-hmm. Holland, like their top oppositions. And no disrespect to teams in this league, because they've all put on a tough game for us, but next season's going to be harder. And that's what Liverpool want, and that's what the team and the staff want.
Yeah, absolutely. It will be harder, but it's where you deserve to be, and we can't wait to see you back there.
Thank you. We're looking forward to it.
Thank you.
John Gibbons and Neil Atkinson talking about NordVPN, courtesy of Audio Boom. This is a paid insert. NordVPN, there's lots of benefits for it.
Yeah.
I feel like one of them comes into play this evening, in that there's something I think it's going to be on telly somewhere else that isn't in the UK.
Yeah, that is the truth about the UK this evening. There will be something that some people might want to engage with elsewhere in the world, and it becomes easier to do that sort of engagement if you do it through a VPN. Your options are open to you. You've got the whole world to choose from. But speaking from personal experience, John, it was hugely helpful to be able to use the NordVPN functionality whilst in Portugal.
Of course.
To engage with the British Televisual Delight, which is the World Snooker Championship.
So forget now, about a game of football that may or may not be on telly in America tonight, but not here. The World Snooker.
Yeah, let's remember, you know, you've got to watch Ronnie by hook or by crook. And whilst in Portugal, I indulge. I mean, I want to be quite clear about this. I am a licensed fee payer. I don't know, I've got no issue with, you know, I'm abroad. I'm filling my boots there. Yeah. The BBC, you know, support World Snooker. They want to see it get watched.
Exactly.
And they're one of the greats of the game, Ronnie O'Sullivan. Another one of the greats of the game, me, watching and enjoying a feast of snooker, to be quite honest with you. So yeah, this is the time of year indeed where all that functionality is hugely important, and NordVPN provider.
So if you find yourself abroad and you want to watch the World Snooker Championships, this allows you to. Or indeed, if you find yourself remaining in the UK but you'd like to watch, say, another sporting event that's not on telly, even though it's taking place in the UK, but it's abroad, NordVPN allows you to do so. It basically allows you to change your location and change where your internet believes you.
Have Nord got us an offer for this, by the way, John?
They have, yes. Marvellous. Yeah. Also, there's loads of other benefits as well, added security and things like that. No lost speed. But you can grab an exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/wrap. Then use the code WRAP to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan, plus free threat protection. There we are. Plus one additional month for free. It's completely risk-free as well with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you try it and it's not for you for whatever reason, you say, oh, you're like, I don't even like snooker, what am I on about?
Come on.
it feels unlikely. So there we are, nordvpn.com/wrap. It is risk-free, but we're very, very confident that you'll enjoy it, thanks to them. And it is John Gibbons for Tour Live, and delighted to be joined in the studio by Paul Butler, who's fighting this weekend, Paul, at the arena, which must be a great feeling for you. I know it's been a while since your last fight, so you must be absolutely raring to go in a couple of days.
I am, I'm buzzing. Obviously we've had a little setback in Dubai, but it's all come down to being back at the Echo, and well, I say the Echo, it's the M&S Arena now.
Sorry, yeah, that was my fault.
I've always boxed, and it was always called the Echo, so yeah, it's nice to be back there in front of the whole crowd. So big performance, hopefully.
Not the first time at the arena, but this time obviously headlining, it's your name at the top. That must be a great feeling when you see an advert around the city and it's Paul Butler up there. It must be good.
It is, mate. I've worked hard to get back to this point. I've headlined at the Echo when it was the Echo a few years back, and I headlined there quite a bit. It's been a long, hard road back. Obviously, we had the pandemic, which killed the sport. I had two during the pandemic, but it's nice to actually be back on the big time and be headlining in Liverpool.
Tell us about your opponent then, Casemiro. You mentioned there Dubai, you were due to fight him, he didn't make the weight. Yeah. But this time, you know, it all looks good and it all looks like it's happening.
Well, you say it looks good. He obviously didn't make weight in Dubai, he didn't get on the scales, he fell ill apparently. And as of last night, he's out of the contest on Friday night, he's out.
Really?
Yeah, he's been caught in saunas, dropping too much weight, £10 in 3 days. You'd have check weighs with the board, the British Boxing Board of Control, and they like to see you bringing your weight down like £2-3 a week.
Yeah,
he's dropped £10 in 3 days, so he's out, and he logs everything on YouTube. He has someone following him around, video and everything. And yesterday, a video has come out, and he's in a sauna. British Boxing Board of Control don't like saunas. I've been pulled from contests before for using saunas. So he's out. Jonas Sultan is in. A very good opponent. He's knew about it for 8 weeks. He's always knew he was there on standby. He's been fully confident he's fighting me for 8 weeks. I've been fully confident I'm fighting Casemiro. but I'm in the right frame of mind, and that's all that matters. I'm
so this is literally just last night. This has happened. Yeah. So that's tough for you though, as a fighter, because you're preparing for a certain style. Presumably you've been asking guys to spar with you, sort of, you know, copying him, and then suddenly it's someone else.
We've been 100% Casemiro, sparring, training, everything, pads, drills, watching Casemiro. But always in the back of my mind, I've always had this could possibly be Sultan. So it was no great shock to me, as it was in Dubai. It was a massive shock to me in Dubai, getting out into Dubai. And then a few days before, we bumped into Agbeko and we were like, what are you doing here? And he was like, oh, I'm fighting you. Well, ow, I'm fighting Casemiro. They were very confident he wouldn't make weight. He didn't make weight. Because all that got sprung on us so quick, we didn't end up fighting out there because we didn't want to put me number one mandatory challenger on the line.
Of course.
It's actually worked out well because we're here now in Liverpool, but with this Sultan thing, I've sort of had it in the back of my mind it could possibly be him, and it sort of helped. We got told yesterday, and we're here today, and I'm fully focused on Sultan now.
Is what it is. I know you're off to the press conferences now, to the Hilton, where they do all the sorts of the big events. And is that the sort of almost the start of it for you, the start of the build up? And how do you sort of keep calm, if you like, because there's still, you know, a couple of days, you know, till the fight. You'll have nervous energy, you know, you'll have people like me speaking to you, you know, all the sorts of TV stuff you mentioned. You were shadow boxing on the pyramid last night and stuff like that. How do you sort of, because you want to presumably be peak as soon as that bell goes?
To be honest, this is probably the busiest week. It's not ideal fight week because you obviously want to sit down, you want to chill, you want to make weight, but you've got to do a lot of press stuff. Like I said, last night I was out on the pier and I was shadow boxing at 9 o'clock at night in just a pair of shorts. Not ideal, but it's what needs to be done. I was doing photo shoots, dropping tickets off all day yesterday. So it's not ideal, but listen, I've got today, away in tomorrow, and we're done. As of tomorrow, 1 o'clock, I'll be eating and drinking what I want. I'll put a stone on within close to 12 hours, so
incredible.
I'll be a very happy man tomorrow.
You look completely different when we see it on Friday night. How big a fight is it for you then? Obviously, you know, the opponent that you were fighting sort of gone, but in terms of what you want to achieve over the next 12 months, how big's Friday night?
Friday night's massive. It's huge for me. I'm 33 now. I'm not 24, 25 when I was headlining The Echo a few years back. So, no, this is massive. But all eyes are on Sultan on Friday night, and I'm not going in there thinking, this is massive for me. I'm going in there to do my job and to tick every box and everything what we've done in the gym. I know I've trained for Casemiro, but Sultan's pretty similar. I've watched enough of him from when it did get announced 8 weeks ago that he'd be reserve. So I watched a bit of him then. I've watched a bit of him from last night, yesterday and today. We're fully focused and we're ready to take that title home.
Yeah, and you know, for you, it's all about sort of those goals that you want to hit. As you say, you're 33 now. Mm. You know, you mentioned, you know, not being 24, 25, but presumably as you change as a fighter, and you know, as some things maybe aren't as sharp, you know, you get more experience, you get more know-how. I guess you've developed as a fighter in different ways since then.
I'm a miles better fighter now than when I was 24, 25. I pick my shots a lot better. I don't waste shots. I can win rounds without exerting too much energy. And by that I mean when I was 24, 25, 26, I wouldn't really have a game plan going in there, to be honest. It'd just be like, let's get in there, crash, bang, wallop, we're in, we're out, we're done. This time around, I study my opponents and you do the right things at the right time.
I'm going to ask you about your football as well, because you play semi-pro, isn't it? It's a decent level. Like,
I don't play anymore, to be honest. I manage a team. We're West Cheshire Free. We've just won the league with about 5 or 6 games to play. We won the league. We were unbeaten. We've just been promoted to West Cheshire 2. So we're climbing the leagues. We've won, apart from the pandemic year, we've won every league that we've gone in. We were the first team to win the Chester Prem. We won that 4 years on the bounce. We were the first team, we were the first Ellesmere Port team to win the Chester Prem. We won that 4 years on the bounce, got promoted to the, well, we got put forward to go to the West Cheshire. We were in the West Cheshire, first year was the pandemic. And then this second year we went unbeaten, we won the league. We've got a cup final on the 2nd of May against Aintree, so it should be a good side at Vauxhall. So looking forward to that, something to look forward to after the fight.
So what do you get from that then? Because obviously the boxing is the main focus and things, and then we all have stuff that we do to I guess take our mind off it and stuff like that. But this is quite an intense thing, managing a team. Like,
that is exactly it. It takes my mind off boxing. I'm boxing 24/7 every day.
Yeah,
I go to football and I talk about football. I love football. Do you know what I mean? I could talk about football all day every day. Like, I like pool, I like snooker. You name the sport, I'll go and play it. I'll do it. I do it.
Are you just as competitive, like, or?
Everything. If we're playing pigeon toss,
his dad's behind and he's looked at me like, yeah.
he don't let me go to golf with him anymore. I'm not competitive here. Bad shot. He says, it's all right. You got another one now. No, that was too, that's bad. But no, if we're playing pigeon toss, I've got to win pigeon toss. I'm just a winner. And I think that rubs off, obviously, in boxing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
Like, when I was a kid, when I was 10, 11, 12, 13, I used to cry my eyes out when I lost. And I'm an amateur coach now. And when I see kids and they get out the ring and they're smiling and they're messing around with the mates, that weren't me. I'm scratching my head thinking,
yeah, how could you be like that?
Do you know what I mean? Like, that was my life. I lost. I couldn't believe I'd lost. But that's the winning mentality in me.
That's where you got to where you are today. It's 33 exactly. Professional wins, isn't it?
33 wins.
34. Friday night?
34, Friday night, the big one, yeah.
Yeah, and then go from there. There are tickets still available if you want to go into the M&S Bank Arena. Apologies to Marks and Spencer for how often we've got their name wrong, but I think they'll forgive us. M&SBankArena.com if you want to go. There are still tickets available. But people will come out for you, and they do in Merseyside, don't they? They support, the sports people from the area, and I'm presuming expecting, people to come out for you on Friday to be right behind you and hopefully, help you and inspire you to win.
Yeah, 100%. I do good tickets myself, and Liverpool's a good city that follows the boxing. They know the boxing. Everyone that there on Friday night is a boxing fan, do you know what I mean? And everyone knows the boxing, so hopefully Friday night they're in for a good entertaining night.
Yeah, if you can get down, if you've not been to the boxing before, it is a brilliant, brilliant night. There's a full card, not just Paul, obviously fighting right at the top, but a great card sort of down. So if you're from the area, do try and get down. If you're in the city for the weekend, maybe over for the Merseyside Derby or something like that, fantastic thing to do on a Friday, a little bit different. As I say, tickets are still available from mnsbankarena.com. But thanks so much for coming in, mate. Really nice to meet you. And obviously, best of luck for Friday.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
This is John Gibbons with an insert, courtesy of Football Prizes. Football Prizes are partnering with us at the moment, and I've got some fantastic prizes for you to win if you are a Liverpool fan, which of course you must be if you're listening to this. And this week's is a bit of a belt. I say this week's, it's actually running this competition to Tuesday the 3rd of May at 7:30, so you've got a little bit more time to win this, but it is two premium seats to the FA Cup final, Liverpool versus Chelsea. So what a prize it is. Tickets cost £9.95 and they're only selling 249. So if you buy a ticket for just under a tenner, you've got a better than 1 in 250 chance of winning them, which isn't too bad indeed. And that is two premium tickets, as I say, for Liverpool Chelsea, the FA Cup final at Wembley on Saturday the 14th of May. They've also got these instant win prizes at the moment as well, so you might win in one of those. But really, you're just after these FA Cup final tickets, aren't you? And why wouldn't you be? A bit more information on the premium seat, and it gives you access to the Inner Circle Concourse Lounge with TVs and entertainment, as well as availability of food and drink as well. So fantastic tickets, brilliant, brilliant prize. And if you want to win that, go to footballprizes.co.uk/product/FA-cup-final. So footballprizes.co.uk/product/FA-cup-final. Yeah, as I say, you've got until Tuesday the 3rd of May to win that. But if you go on the website, they've got prizes going up all the time, including if you're very quick on this, and by that I mean Wednesday, the day after the Man United game, they're doing a flash competition, a really fast 24-hour turnaround to win a signed Thiago shirt. So yeah, we're having a look at that if you're one of those who listens to this straight away. But nice one to Football Prizes for partners, and hopefully one of you lucky people wins those FA Cup final tickets.
31:25, John. Therefore, this is now the second part or the fourth part of Tour Live podcast or YouTube broadcast, depend on your point of view as to where that is. And it is a pleasure to still be in the company of Sean Bennett, of Cam Rimmer, and of John Gibbons. As we talk a little bit about tonight, I know people might listen to this a little bit close to the weekend, but talk a little bit about tonight. Two big games tonight, John, from our point of view. One is Everton versus Leicester. And I say that as a big game. You know, obviously, Everton have got their own stuff to go through at the moment, but also it's quite rare, although it will happen to Everton a fair bit between now and the end of the season, that sides that aren't in European football and tend to go to domestic cups relatively early find themselves in a situation where they've got midweek and weekend games. So, you know, Everton, it's a home game tonight. It's arguably a more important, it's a game they're much more likely to get points out of than Sunday. That's not to say they can't get points out of Sunday, and I want to come on and talk about that, but they've got to find a way through tonight, haven't they, Everton, where I think there's every chance that even if they play to their best, they're going to have an intense 90 minutes against Leicester City.
They need to play well, is what I would say. You know, they obviously need points for the position that they're in, but also going into Sunday, they need the performance. I think I understood where the phrase "the form book goes out the window" came from in football, but I think now it's just completely defunct. There's absolutely no way they can go in to Sunday in the form that they're in, sort of at the moment, playing badly and get anything out of it. They need some confidence, you know, to go into that game to think they can get anything out of it. Really, you know, you saw how little the form book went out the window last night for Liverpool v Manchester United.
I think the form book came back in the window
exactly
last night. The form book has been lashed in through hopefully open windows, but that form book, it just keeps getting lashed back in.
Yeah, and it'll be exactly the same on Sunday. So they need some form in that book. So I think that's how they'll be looking at it tonight, as much as obviously the points that they need to get the win against Manchester United, and you know, so they're not without sort of victories recently, but they're without many, and that's why they're in the position that they are in. And obviously, since they last played, a couple of teams have picked up a couple more points, and a few things have happened at Burnley and stuff like that. So yeah, it'll be an interesting one tonight. I mean, none of the games we want to watch on the telly, which is a bit of a blow, isn't it?
Yeah, there's some sort of notion that anyone cares about football that happens in London, which is one of the many things this country gets wrong. Almost all football that happens in the capital is fundamentally pointless. And the entirety of the history of football bears that out as a point of view. And it's nice that they try. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, it's the nation's game, so the capital should take part. But taking part is all they're doing.
It's got about Chelsea, Arsenal's got about the same amount of relevance, if not less so, than whoever it is that Dulwich Hamlet are playing this evening. And Dulwich Hamlet have got much more going on. Sean, the other one obviously that matters is Manchester City's home game against Brighton. From City's point of view, they've had a day more rest than we had. They've obviously looked a little bit thin on the ground all of a sudden, but I think the other thing that's significant for them is the game they've got at the weekend is at home against Watford. So if there's one of these two that you throw your resources in and you see where you are afterwards, I think it is tonight. I think City will be absolutely determined to be as intense as they can manage for as long as they can manage in this one against Brighton tonight. So for me, the major thing is if Brighton can keep it level up until the half-time point, then there might be something worth us getting our teeth into. Ultimately, I expect City to try to do everything they can to find a way, but it does feel like one where just maybe if City are a little bit lacking in confidence, Brighton might just be able to do the Reds a favour.
Yeah, this is the one they're going to want to bounce back with. And I don't think they're going to take this game lightly by any means. And City in general don't really tend to get beat that many games on the run, do they? So not getting my hopes up. I'm going to tell myself that before every game. But to be honest, looking at their running for the end of the season, if I had to put money on games that I think they were going to drop points on, it probably would be Brighton and West Ham, who I think could give them a game. But I'm not even going to watch it. I'm playing footy later with Harriet, actually, so I'm going to be blissfully ignorant until I come home and check it.
What's Harriet like as a player, Sean?
Yeah.
Virgil. Scans the game. Yeah, reads the game from the back.
Absolutely tremendous news.
Major Van Dijk sat up upstairs, keeping it to himself.
Absolutely amazing. The best thing that's come out of the whole show, to be quite honest with you.
I was expecting a Virgil show.
I thought I enjoyed last night's game. This has absolutely got my attention.
I love the fact she's gone over to see the women at Penton Park. She's took her boots.
Yeah.
getting all the tips.
There is on it, Cam, I'm sort of with Sean, and I think the best way to sort of treat City matches for our own well-being is, listen, we can focus very much on Liverpool, but the the best way to focus, I think, on City matches is very much just check what the score is at half-time and then make your decisions accordingly. There's no match going on. Pay no attention to the first 45 minutes of any Manchester City game. Check it at half-time and go from there.
Do you know what? I'm a bit more different. I was saying last night to my mate, I was like, I'm just going to do 20-minute intervals and just go like that. So,
sounds.
If they can get to 20, sounds. 40, 60, then it's Towns on the cards. And then if it gets to 80, it's like, wow, here we go. But no, we've just got to do what we've got to do. Like, if we're playing before then, we've got to win our game and then see what happens. And if they slip up, they slip up. And we've got to be there waiting to go into Sunday. But we can hope all we want, but I wouldn't totally be surprised if City score in the first couple of minutes. But then also, you never know with the end of the season coming up. And, you know, we did them on Saturday. We had that massive win last night.
Yeah.
You never know.
Well, the form book, John, that you've lashed back in through the window, has Brighton in decent enough nick? They've gone to Tottenham and got something. They've gone to Arsenal and got something. Now, then I do the negative, the opposite of the form book and go, what would be the chances of them getting something from all three of those away fixtures? And sort of conclude that, well, I'm not quite sure. But the point is, I think this Brighton side, I think it loves playing sides that are better than it, or on paper better than it. I think the manager loves the challenge of it as well. I think they're quite a clever group of players, even if they lack a couple of things, like, for instance, a goal scorer. They're a group of players who you get the impression can take information on, can shift their approach both between and during games. I'm absolutely happy with Cam's 20-minute intervals. Trust me, don't get me wrong. But that's my sort of 45, or even see if you can get to the hour mark. Because if that's the case, you'd back Potter to be able to use his bench, to be honest.
Yeah, the funny side in that, you know, there's plenty of times this season where, you know, they've lost winnable games or drew games where they've created loads of chances and not sort of put them in. And I think they frustrate their fans. You know, there was one where they were booed off, you know, when they were ninth in the table and everyone's going mad. But I think, you know, the supporters have just found them sort of infuriating to watch because they know how good they can be, and they've shown that in these big games. And I think they'll keep the ball as well, which is a big thing, because, you know, Man City, you know, if it's wave after wave after wave, they will eventually do those free passes where they score. Whereas, you know, Brighton, you know, if they get it, they'll keep it for a minute or two, and that'll just disrupt City's rhythm. So I wouldn't say they're a nightmare opponent for Manchester City, because they're obviously not, but they're a tricky one, and they'll do some things that Manchester City won't necessarily enjoy, and they'll look to, you know, play in the space that Man City will give you, because you know, they're such an attacking side. And so I'm hopeful. I'm somewhere between Cam and Sean, I think. And I think, you know, we'll see. But it's not the end of the world if it doesn't happen tonight, because there is a few more opportunities.
Okay. Then looking ahead to Sunday, Sean, I think it's important not to get carried away. Earlier in the season, we went to Old Trafford, we got the result that we got, and not long after, we went to Goodison Park and got the result that we got there. But we got more of a game at Goodison Park. And there was more of a stout resistance at Goodison Park. There was more of the idea of, we're not getting made a show of. 4-1 in the end is a fair bit of making a show of, don't get me wrong, in your own ground in a derby. But they always felt as though there was just a bit more of, not least the idea of knowing how to do it. One of the problems I think Manchester United have got is they don't really know how to be crap. Whereas Everton have got years of experience. And so from there, you'd end up in a situation where I'm expecting Everton to be much better at making it harder for Liverpool, is my point. That doesn't mean Liverpool can't score a couple of goals as a minimum against them. But I think Everton will be more committed to the idea of, we can be absolutely horrible in this football match for as long as we can be. Keep these out. And I'm not expecting Sunday to be a stroll at all.
Yeah, I'm kind of expecting Everton to do what I thought Man United were going to do last night and just scrap for your lives to make sure Liverpool don't win another league title. You know, forget the relegation battle. They just want to make sure we do not win another title. So I think it'll be tough, but I think, I guess the thing we need to be mindful of, and that's why I thought Klopp might have rotated a bit more against Man United, is legs. Because I guess after the Everton game, we've got Villarreal on the Wednesday, and then it's the 12:30 kickoff, if that still stands. So, yeah, I think we'll see changes. Hopefully that doesn't disrupt rhythm too much. But even if we do see changes, it's still going to be a strong team. I'd personally bring in Firmino and Jota. I think Firmino's had some hard lines, actually, not getting into the team.
He's picked up a couple of injuries, hasn't he? Where he maybe would have played. He's had a couple of knocks recently, so he's not sort of been left out quite as much as it seems.
Yeah, but you know, I'd probably bring in Tsimikas and Gomez as fullbacks, and then probably try and give Fabinho a rest. But yeah, it's one of them every week. You want to put your strongest team out every time, but I think if you're looking at Everton and the quality they've got and the mentality, and maybe Klopp, I think you had a good point before, John, maybe Klopp looks at the Leicester result and tries to judge how down in the dumps they're going to be about that game and how low the confidence is, because he does love playing a mad team against Everton, doesn't he? He does love a bit of a mad rotation. So, yeah, I'm still confident. I think we'll win. I think it'll be cagey, and I think they'll just want to shut up shop at the back and make sure we don't get a sniff.
It's a strange thing, Cam. I think they're trying to shut up shop against Liverpool's at times. I think it's a little bit of a, if you invite us on, finally we'll work that out. I don't think you'll rest quite as many as Sean thinks there. I think that there'll be, you know, one surprise, we see Diaz feature. I think Salah will feature. I think that all the best, saying to, for instance, Thiago, Alexander-Arnold and Andy Robertson, you're not playing the Merseyside derby. I think that, you know, you can want to do that in theory. I think in practice, they may well have their own view. But I do take Sean's point, and I think it is something to remember. Again, within the game, our players knew it was Tuesday to Sunday in this one. So they have Saturday, then they're a bit, you know, they're obviously, I think they were a little bit leggy second half, but they know it's Tuesday, Sunday. Then this one, though, it is Sunday, Wednesday. So he is going to have to be responsible somewhere.
Yeah, and I think this will be the one he'll go with it, with a couple of changes. But I still think it's going to be strong enough to beat this Everton side, because you can say all you want about Everton wanting to shut up shop and stuff, but you've got to have the quality there to do it. And in all great respects, that this is even a go with Everton. Like, they're not Man City, are they? So I think...
Well, they're not at Chelsea. Chelsea have looked the side most able to sort of keep Liverpool at arm's length at bay for patches. They've looked the side all the way through the campaign who've been able to frustrate, and that's the point here. But Chelsea have got really good, experienced, clever defenders.
Yeah, exactly. Who won a Champions League last season. So it's, you know, all the qualities there. But going back to Everton, I think he will make a few changes. I mean, you wouldn't even be surprised if Divock Origi gets his final swan song against these. I mean, remember that team in the season we won the league, and it was December and the league wasn't even won. He still went with a mad lineup, so God knows what he's going to do in this one. Or I think it'd be a few changes, but I think, like you could see last night, he's trying to get the game won early. I think the next two home games, Everton and Villarreal, he'll try and do that as well, and then he's just trying to rest as much as he possibly can. But he'll still be fairly strong, but I don't think he'll be our strongest 11.
What's interesting to me last night is the subs in terms of who he brings on. And so there would be an opportunity to bring on a few more of the fringe players, if you like. So Reed is on the bench, Jones is on the bench, but he doesn't. He does Keita first, doesn't he? Or is it Jota first?
Jota first,
then Keita. And we're freeing him up then. And then he does the Milner one at four. But, you know, he's the experienced James Milner, maybe one last shot again for playing against Man United from a Liverpool point of view. But, you know, I thought that was quite interesting that because the game's won, but he's not doing, say, Curtis Jones, or he's not doing Origi. And that suggests to me that wherever possible, I actually think he's going to keep it quite a tight 14-15 between now and the end of the season. The only slight wild card is the Newcastle one, with that being half 12 after the Wednesday night, and whether he rotated a little bit more for that. But I don't know. I thought the subs yesterday were a little bit of a cue to me that actually, you know, if he can go with 14, 15 starters that he rotates around between now and the end of the season, I think he will if he can.
Okay, then. Everyone thinks Liverpool are going to win the game?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Nods from Sean. Marvellous stuff indeed. It has been Tour Live, produced by Andy Heaton. Harriet and John, with your inserts there with Paul Butler and any of the women's players that Harriet managed to snare. I've got no idea. Hopefully it's all of them. And thank you very much to Sean, to John, and to Cam. Excellent stuff.
Oh, well in, Harriet.
Marvellous stuff. Excellent stuff. Andy, head of the game on that one. It's been a pleasure, because this football team is a pleasure. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, whatever it is you're doing. Liverpool are on the march. League titles, FA Cups and Champions Leagues do not win themselves.
It's time to get your checking account to zero with free checking from PenFed. That's zero ATM fees, zero balance requirements, and zero time spent waiting for your paycheck to direct deposit, because you can receive it up to 2 days early. Open your account with just $25 and see how big zero can be. Apply online today at PenFed.org/free checking. Early direct deposit eligibility may vary between pay periods and timing of payer's funding. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
Sports Social Podcast Network.